Greetings again from St. Michael's Broadcast, and we continue today with our discussion of forthcoming events upon the world. And of course, the primary source for this information are the prophetic revelations from the Mother of God, given in our time through various seers. Of particular mention are the apparitions of the Virgin Mary at Garabandal, Spain, back in the early mid-60s, and the apparitions of Bayside, New York, which occurred from the years 1970 through 1995. Both apparitions are intimately related in content. We might see them as sister apparitions. Both speak of the crisis of the Church and the fall of the Catholic hierarchy. Both speak of a great warning and chastisement to come soon. Accordingly, both have been ill-regarded by the wide body of today's Catholic bishops and priests. However, they should consider that Padre Pio, who was one of the great saints of all time, whose hands bled for 50 years, who had the gift of prophecy and the reading of hearts, and who is a canonized saint of the Roman Catholic Church, was tremendously devoted to Our Lady of Garabandal, and would often recommend his spiritual children to her. In August 1968, he told Joachim Boufflet, Ph.D., a Third Order Carmelite, quote, "Consecrate yourself to the Virgin of Carmel who appeared at Garabandal." Coming from him, that certainly carries some weight. And even though this does not constitute an official sanction of the Church, we should certainly be more influenced by his belief than by the staggering disbelief of today's liberalist clergy. Consider, too, that the abrogation of Canon Laws 1399 and 2318 in March of 1966 now provides that the faithful are free to believe and promote Marian apparitions without having to wait for the formal approval of the Church. The Church grants this license on the condition that there is nothing in the message that is contrary to Catholic faith and morals. Traditional faith and morals, that is. But some may say, we have doctrine, we have tradition, we have the Mass, why do we have to go looking for apparitions? The answer is that we should never go looking for apparitions. But if your mother comes looking for you in the darkness, then it's an entirely different story. As Jesus told his disciples, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." So, if God commissions us to believe these messages, and to go forward as disciples of the latter days, then we really shouldn't go looking for anything else. We have it all. As to the importance of Bayside and Garabandal, St. Thomas Aquinas, history's foremost theologian, puts the matter in clear perspective, where he says that the purpose of private revelation is not to explain doctrine or to add anything to it, but to simply offer men of a certain period, because of the circumstances of that period, a course for human action. And of course, the circumstances of today certainly warrant some divine intervention. If Our Lady's intercession was needed at La Salette back in 1846, if it was needed at Fatima in 1917, then how much more needed is it today in 2006? The fact is that the faithful today have to be warned and protected against the modernist clergy who are using their rank to destroy the Roman Catholic Church. Our Lady says they are teaching heresy, many priests. In the message of Garabandal, Our Lady, through the intercession of St. Michael, spoke to the seer Conchita on June 18, 1965, and said, "Many cardinals, many bishops, and many priests are on the road to perdition and are taking many souls with them. Less and less importance is being given to the Eucharist. You should turn the wrath of God away from yourselves by your efforts. If you ask His forgiveness with sincere hearts, He will pardon you." And she goes on to say, "You are now receiving the last warnings." In the message of Bayside on July 25, 1979, Our Lady said, "The enemies of God have entered even upon my son's church. Will you not come forward as disciples of these last days and fight for my son to retain his church? Bishops, cardinals, if you do not love my son, have you no vestige of fear? Do you think you will stand before him and say that your teaching has been pure in his sight? He shall cast you aside as the vipers you have become in the destruction of souls." End of quote. And that's Our Lady to Veronica, July 25th, 1979. Again, Our Lady of Garabandal, back on October 18th, 1961, told the seer Conchita, quote, "We must make many sacrifices, perform much penance, and visit the Blessed Sacrament frequently. But first, we must lead good lives. If we do not, a chastisement will befall us. The cup is already filling up, and if we do not change, a very great chastisement will come upon us." Unquote. Suffice to say, all the graces combined cannot be enough to fight this great battle of the last days, and for this reason Our Lady asks her little armies throughout the world to unite with a sense of mutual charity and appreciation for each other. On Sunday, March 19th, 2006, the Feast of St. Joseph, St. Michael's World Apostolate held its regular monthly meeting in College Point, New York, and featured at the meeting was a guest speaker, Gabriel Garnica, writer for Garabandal International Magazine, which is a major publication for propagating the Garabandal message throughout the world. And of course, his talk stirred some enthusiastic response from among the Baysiders, and we've captured this on tape so that you could at least have a synopsis of the meeting, which may very well mark the first official coming together of the Bayside and Garabandal movements. The meeting opens with Michael Mangan delivering some introductory words, whereupon it proceeds into Mr. Garnica's presentation on Garabandal.
It's my pleasure to introduce to you Gabriel Garnica. Gabriel is a writer and journalist for Garabandal International Magazine, and he also writes for other online publications as well. He might touch on that. And he's currently an adjunct professor at Baruch College. He is a lawyer, and he's teaching business law at Baruch College. And it's interesting, Gabriel had emailed us, a month ago? And we thought it was interesting, because as you know, and I think Gabriel will point this out, and we'd like to point it out a little bit, there is definitely a connectedness, our relationship between Garabandal and Bayside. And I have a few excerpts here, especially in the early years with Veronica and her relationship with Joey Lamagino and others. But it is interesting, but one of the first things that crossed my mind when Gabriel emailed us, I says, well, isn't this good? Because one of the points mentioned by Veronica in the early years and by Our Lady is that they want the unity of the groups of Our Lady. They want the different groups to unify. There's more power in when we're unified, when we share the same faith, the same values, same beliefs. There's more power there. And so I know Veronica was working towards this, so I thought, gee, maybe that might be a good, this might be a little bit of a bridge or a little bit of opening to the good people at Garabandal, and maybe we can begin to have some dialogue or maybe get together more or so forth. We'll have to see. But one thing we do know with the Bayside apparitions is that with Garabandal, it's the only unapproved apparition site of the Roman Catholic Church that Our Lady endorses in the Bayside message, in the public message. Our Lady specifically says, believe what you see at Garabandal. So Our Lady does endorse, obviously, Garabandal, which is not approved in the same category as we are, and unlike Fatima, Lourdes, La Salette, which are all officially approved by the Church. So, and without any further ado, Gabriel, if you'd step up to the plate. It's all yours.
Thank you. Well, first of all, I wanted to thank Michael and the Lay Order of St. Michael for giving me this opportunity to speak to you today. I don't know if anybody here has ever had the opportunity to go to Garabandal, but I highly recommend it. They have a lot of pilgrimages where you go to Fatima, Lourdes, and Garabandal. They have a lot of those now. And God works in mysterious ways. I'm sure all of you, the reason you're in this room is testament to that, probably, if you think of how you ended up hearing about Bayside and everything else. When I was 12 years old, I heard about Bayside. I got one of these leaflets, and I was just looking at it, going, wow, I gotta know more about this. I can't explain why, but it just caught my attention. And I kept, you know, looking for leaflets about Bayside and everything else. And one of the first things I always remember about Bayside is 1974 message saying, believe what you hear at Garabandal. First thing I said to myself is, what's Garabandal? What is that? I mean, that I never heard that name before. What is that? And then I started looking into Garabandal. As luck would have it, I guess 6 years ago, we were going to buy a new home, and we were trying to decide, should we buy a home? We were going to buy a home, but an opportunity came to go on a pilgrimage to Lourdes, Fatima, and Garabandal. And I said to my wife, the pilgrimage is much more important than the house. If God wants us to have a house, we'll get the house later. And we do that, and literally within 1 month, it became possible to have both. So I think it was God almost trying to test us and saying, let's see what you think is more important. Maybe if we go for the house, we never go to the pilgrimage. None of this other stuff ever happens. So we go to Garabandal, and I liked Garabandal better than of the three places. Garabandal really hit me because to me, Garabandal was like Fatima must have been around 1917. I mean, that's what Garabandal is, even probably still right now. So it really struck me, the simplicity of it, one of the articles that I wrote for Garabandal International, I said Garabandal is a spiritual hotspot. When you go there, there's something going on there. You feel it. You feel it. It's almost like it's like that. That's like a battleground for the devil. He feels threatened by Garabandal very much. As I said before, I found out about Garabandal through Bayside, and then I ended up going to Garabandal. When I was in Garabandal, I met Serafin, who's Conchita's brother, and he kind of struck me too, his simplicity and everything else. I had a photograph taken with him and everything else. And I wrote an article sort of honoring him, this simple man that represented everything that's good about, you know, following God and serving God all, and you know, talk about humble and, you know, everything else. And the people in the Garabandal Center in Australia, which has practically become like the center of one of the main centers, if not the center of the world, as far as Garabandal. And when I sent this article to them, they were so impressed, they said, you know, hey, maybe you could write for us. And that's how it started. So it's funny because going on this pilgrimage led to meeting Serafin, which led to the article, which led to me ending up writing for this magazine. We're talking about Garabandal and Bayside, sort of how they have so much in common, which Michael was mentioning. And I guess you could start out with June 18th. I guess June 18th means something to Baysiders. That's your big day. Well, apparently it's the big day for a lot of things because June 18th, 1961, four girls were playing near the church and they were stealing apples. Now the forces of hell like to say, this proves that Garabandal cannot be from God. Because how could the Virgin Mary possibly ever appear to any girls who were stealing apples? Well, I don't know about you guys, but I would venture to say that the world today is a lot worse than stealing apples. So the devil works in funny ways. He makes things that are not that bad look really bad to cover up for the fact that there's a lot of worse things going on. So they were playing near the church, and when you go to the town, they show you everything, you know. And they heard the thunder, just like in the movies, you know, if you ever see the Miracle of Fatima, same thing, the thunder. Who appeared to them? Saint Michael. And he appeared to them, but he didn't say anything. And they said he looked like he was 15 years old. And Saint Michael appeared to him, he didn't say anything. And they told everybody in the town, not everybody, but they told their family, like, and everything else. And he appeared to them several other times. A little bit later, he appears to them again, and then this time on July 1st, he tells them the Virgin Mary is coming tomorrow. So I'm sure that kind of shook them a little bit. Sure enough, the next day, July 2nd, she comes. Saint Michael at her right side, another angel to be named later at her left side. Turns out it was Gabriel. There was the eye of God on the right side, and she had, on her right, like her wrist, she had a large scapular, and she came as a Lady of Mount Carmel. So right there, you have the connection to the scapular. So right away, you have the date, you have St. Michael, and you have the scapular connection already coming in. The next day, she comes again. This time, she's carrying the baby Jesus. Here she is visiting these girls, and the next day, there's Jesus. It's almost like saying, if you believe, and if you lead good lives, eventually you're going to get the prize, which is being with Jesus. And it was like, it's a step process. And then shortly thereafter, she began to speak to them again about other things. And one of the things that I also wrote about that she's always telling them, of course, is prayer, especially the rosary. And it's come to be known as the Garabandal Rosary. Now, what's different about the Garabandal Rosary? Garabandal Rosary it's actually a lot of the way you good people were actually praying just now. Very slow, very methodical, very respectful, and almost singing. It's almost singing. The people that heard Conchita doing the rosary said it's almost like she's singing. And it's a special kind of rosary that the people that there, they said, you've never heard a rosary like that before in your life. And she would talk to them about the priesthood as well. And she said, pray for priests, because unfortunately the devil is attacking the priesthood very much, and we see it every day. And in Garabandal, a lot of the things that Mary, the Virgin Mary, would say to the girls was that, and you know, the devil is attacking the priesthood, and that's going to lead people away from God. And as you can see, sadly, it's happening. You know, so the priesthood is another common connection between Bayside and Garabandal. Another interesting kind of thing, if you think about it, is Bayside, St. Robert Bellarmine Church, right? Started in a church, and then they basically ended up going to Flushing Meadow because I guess some people were complaining it was getting too. So it began with near a church, and then it ended up in Flushing Meadow, trees. Garabandal began right near the church, not too far from the church, but where did they end up going? The Pines. The Pines alone is worth the ticket of admission, or the price of admission. When you go to Garabandal and you go up to the Pines, if you don't feel God there, something's wrong, because it hits you. Because when the girls were having the apparitions, they would get callings, in Spanish called llamadas. They would get like three or four of them. When they got the last one, by that time they were already outside and people knew that what was happening, so they would start following them. And then at a certain point, they would just take off. I mean, they would run and nobody could keep up with them. They would have won an Olympic gold medal for sure. They were just running. And then they would go up this hill. And while I was going up the hill, even towards the end, I was thinking, how could they possibly? I mean, they would fly up that hill looking straight up and they would never trip. And one of the things that was interesting that really caught my attention was sacramentals, which is another connection to Bayside. The way that started is when the Virgin Mary was with the baby Jesus, the girls got some pebbles and offered them to the baby Jesus, like playing with him. Okay, and you know, as it turned out, when the Virgin Mary kissed these pebbles, she said, distribute them to the people. And then that turned out to be, then people, when people heard that, they say, wait a minute, let's start giving the Virgin Mary some real stuff that we can get. So people would give like their crucifixes and their scapulars and all that. And everybody's probably heard about how, like, you would have, this has happened to me, you know, you have like 10 rosaries and 14 scapulars all mixed together, and you're thinking, you know, this is going to take me the rest of the year to get this stuff untangled. And the stuff used to just flow off from each other. And the girls would sometimes give the crucifix or the scapular or the wedding ring to the correct person without even, like, they would be looking at the Virgin Mary and would give it to the right person in the crowd. Sometimes they would put the things on a table to be given to the Virgin Mary, like in a pile. Somebody, as they were looking through these things to take it up to the Virgin Mary, there was a fancy compact, like this little fancy, like one of those like powder things. And they're like, we shouldn't give this to the Virgin Mary. This is embarrassing. I mean, you know, one thing is a scapular, whatever. Who cares about some cosmetic thing? They said, okay, let's just give it to her anyway. They gave it to, when they put the pile there, the Virgin Mary told one of the girls, bring me that first. She said, that belongs to my son. Spanish Civil War, they used it to transfer Eucharist to people who were condemned to death. So you see, I mean, you know, the definition of sacramental basically means whatever God has touched. That's a sacramental. So you have the sacramentals, which ties into Bayside, obviously, because Bayside is always talking about, you know, wear your sacramentals, wear your medals, all those things. So there's a lot of connections in that way, too. There's a lot of this thing with the priesthood, pray for the priesthood. You have the holy hour, sacramentals, okay, even the physical thing of the idea of going to the Pines. You know, the way the Pines came about was, I believe it was Conchita's grandfather planted these trees to celebrate the children's first communion. So there's a Eucharistic connection. The Virgin Mary told Conchita, less and less respect is being given to the Eucharist. And, you know, in those days, everybody received in the tongue and they knelt and everything. And she was already saying, less and less respect is being given to the Eucharist. So the idea of Eucharist and the real presence, which is being attacked. Even if people don't realize it, receiving in the hand, not kneeling, all of that is a direct attack on the real presence. And actually, they say 70% or something like that. I've written a lot of articles about American Catholics, and you know, I try to be nice, but it's not easy. It's not easy. I think I've actually called them clueless in some cases. Not that I'm so great, but I'm just saying clueless in terms of they don't even question anything anymore. And with the real presence, something like 70% of American Catholics do not believe in it anymore. A lot of them think it's symbolic, the ones that even know about it. So little by little, it's being attacked. So sacramentals, Eucharist, real presence, hell, all of these things tie in. The two messages have so much in common that I'd like to think that it's like what Michael says, that it's almost more difficult to keep the two messages apart than it is to keep them together, because they have so much in common that you would be hard-pressed to try to say they're not really the same. They both talk about a lot of the same things.
Gabriel, is there, obviously you're a strong Garabandal promoter and you're writing for the magazine and everything. Is there still, it seemed in the 70s, maybe even the 80s, Veronica, I'll be quite honest with you, Veronica experienced a lot of hostility from Garabandal organization. It was very severe. Has that lessened? Are they more open to Bayside? What's your feel or read for this? Or are they more receptive? What's the temperature? We're just trying to take the temperature.
Well, there must be some trace of that among some people there. So, I mean, somewhere along the line, somebody got to somebody. And I don't know, I can't imagine what they possibly could have said, because anybody who, again, it's almost like you have to think for yourself. Anybody who looks at the two sides, it's almost the same thing. But it just goes to show you that the devil he likes dividing you when you're doing something good. When you're doing something bad, he likes to unite the people that are doing bad things. When they're doing something good, he tries to divide you. So one of the things that happened at Garabandal is one of the Blessed Mother said, think about Christ's passion. Well, thinking about Christ's passion would be going to see Mel Gibson's movie. That'll make you think about the passion, all right. Maybe some of you might have heard about the miracle of the visible host, which is that St. Michael gave Conchita communion. She was kneeling on the tongue. He didn't say, it's okay, you can get up and use your hands. She was kneeling on the tongue, and photographs were taken of it. And there's pictures in the book that I brought. There's pictures. Where is it here? You see it in the picture. In the picture, you actually see a host appear on her tongue right before she swallows. Now, and who gave it to her? St. Michael. Now, talking about the warning and the miracle, one of the things that I was doing with the warning, people always asking about the warning. Well, the few times that I've spoken with Conchita, anybody who knows about Garabandal knows that Conchita is not about dates. She dislikes it when people say, well, you know, can you tell me when the, you know, can you give me an idea? I mean, how's the weather going to be? I mean, are they going to be playing baseball or football? Just to get some kind of an idea. But there's definite signs and there's definite things that are mentioned about the warning. And also the miracle. Now, with the warning, what does the warning remind me of? St. Paul in Damascus. And we all know the story. He's on his horse. He's going to persecute the Christians. And God has other ideas. He literally knocks him off his horse and says, why are you persecuting me? You know that thing they say, you know, you're going to see a film of your life? Well, that I think St. Paul saw, you know, four films of his life there. And the whole idea is the warning is going to be like that for us. It's going to be like that. We're going to get a film of our life, and it's, you know, for most people, it's not exactly going to be a comedy, but it's going to be a wake-up call. And a lot of people say, again, you go back to the forces of the devil. Oh, God would never do that to people. Why is he going to scare them for, you know? Well, love, tough love, divine mercy, because in his mercy and his love for us, he is going to knock us off our horses, because he cares so much about us that he wants to scare the daylights out of us, so that maybe, just maybe, we're going to change our lives. And Conchita said that the Virgin Mary said that it's a purification. The idea is to purify us so that maybe we'll react. And then that supposedly helps us to get ready for the miracle. It's going to be understood to be a supernatural thing that people are not going to say, well, this could have, you know, they're going to know that this is not a normal situation. And it's going to be very frightening. You're going to literally feel tremendous remorse. And I can imagine that. Like the kind of remorse that maybe people felt. I know I felt it when you're looking at the movie, The Passion. I saw people crying in the theater because they were probably thinking, I did this to him, you know, that kind of a thing. When you go to the miracle, where you see the whole thing about everybody knows it's a Thursday, and it's the 8th to the 16th, and it's going to be in March, April, May. And then when you do all that and I was talking with Bill outside, when you put all of those things together, you say, okay, it's a Thursday, March, April, or May, 8 to 16, a saint that was a martyr of the Eucharist. But the whole idea is that it's definitely coming. You see the world the way it's going, and Garabandal talks about all of these things, and Bayside talks about all these things. That if you took messages from Garabandal, and you took somebody from Bayside and told them, and you didn't tell them it was from Garabandal, and you said this was from Bayside, you would believe that it came from Bayside. You'd say, oh, I must have missed this that newsletter or something. And it's the other way around too. If you took one from Bayside and showed it to somebody from Garabandal, no, this sounds like something that I've read before. So they're very close together. And I think the fact that they're not approved really doesn't really mean anything, because as we see, unfortunately, as we're getting more and more into the future, what will be approved and disapproved really, in fact, if it's not approved, it might actually be a compliment in some cases. To me, you look at a message and you say, does it talk about good and evil? Does it talk about the devil? Does it talk about heaven and hell? Does it tell you, hey, you know, you got to get off on the ball and you got to become a better person? Otherwise, there's going to be consequences. They talk about the chastisement in both of them. So, I mean, that's what tells you that it's real, because anything that's, you know, everybody just hug and be friends, that's not what it's about. So that's where the two messages have so much in common.
This is St. Michael's Radio. We're going to pause for a few moments, and then we'll be returning to Gabriel Garnica and his presentation on Garabandal. The mission of Our Lady of the Roses at Bayside is to provide for your spiritual needs, and our catalog of religious gifts certainly reflects that. Of paramount importance is the brown scapular, which Our Lady has asked us all to wear in these dangerous times. You don't want to leave home without it. Our 100% wool Crusader scapular goes for only $2.95. And with that, you'll want to order your chain link wooden rosary made in Italy. Goes for only $6.95. And for an additional 95 cents, we can send you the St. Benedict medal and Our Lady of the Roses medal to complete your armor that you want to have on your person at all times. For your home, we provide you with the 2-inch wooden crucifix for your doors. Goes for only $1 each. For your listening edification, we have some inspiring audio cassettes and CDs that are bound to captivate you. Of particular interest is our 60-minute report on the great tsunami that devastated parts of Southeast Asia back on December 26, 2004. This includes startling predictions from Veronica 30 years ago and shows how this is a divine warning that must be heeded if we are to avert future disasters, and how this was an act of mercy to rescue the children from the evils of sexual abuse and slave labor so prevalent in Southeast Asia. This goes for only $4.95 CD, $3.95 audio cassette. For those wishing to learn more about our saintly seer, Veronica, you'll want to order our 70-minute tape entitled The Warmth and Humanity of Veronica of the Cross. In a moving dissertation, Michael Mangan focuses on the compassion and down-to-earth humanity of Veronica and how she had to earn her crown through personal struggle. Veronica's close worker and longtime friend, Mary de Blasio, provides an inside look into Veronica's personal character. This also includes a stirring homily from Father Robert Skirla, former International Blue Army chaplain, on the integrity of Veronica and the Bayside message. Also, this joyfully recounts the glories and supernatural wonders of the 34th anniversary at Bayside. Again, $4.95 CD, $3.95 audio cassette. And for a mere $9.95, we'll send you our Gloria Laus. This is a fine collection of Latin Gregorian chants sung by the talented Bauer sisters of the Cape Cod Scala Sancta Cecilia. Again, that's available on CD for $9.95, a real steal. For your reading edification, we carry the complete set of Heaven Speaks Today, which are illuminating prophecies and excerpts that are extracted from the Bayside message. Each issue of Heaven Speaks highlights a particular topic of Our Lady's message. The entire set of Heaven Speaks is only $1.50. Individual issues are only a dime each. You can't beat that. And to complete your spiritual reading, we carry the official Roman Catholic Bible. This is the Douay Rheims version, which is the most accurate version of Holy Scripture in the English language. Normally, this would run you $50. It's yours today for only $39.95. This is something that no Christian home should be without. For our complete listing of religious gifts, visit us at www.smwa.org and shop online at our secure store. To order by telephone using your credit card, call 1-888-830 SMWA. That's 888-830-7692. And that number, by the way, is for credit card orders only. And if you call after hours, you can always leave your order on our voicemail. We carry the complete line of sacramentals, messages, and reading material to meet your spiritual needs. Whatever your needs are, we've got it. And of course, we invite you to write for the free information. You can send your letters to St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361, or toll-free line 1-800-345-MARY. We return now to Gabriel Garnica, writer for Garabandel International Magazine, as he speaks to the Bayside faithful at their monthly meeting.
It boils down to this. If you want to follow Garabandel or Bayside, you have to not worry about offending people, because the devil, it makes it look like we're the ones that are doing the wrong thing. We're the ones that are being intolerant and offensive, and we're evil because we don't want, you know, this and that, and we don't accept this and that. But the reality of it is that one of the things I wrote is, you know, a lot of times people say, they hit their chest and say, oh, if I had been at Good Friday, I would have been right there next to Jesus. And we know that as human beings, probably we might not have been right next to Jesus. We'd have been running for our lives. But guess what? We're being forced to be right there next to Jesus. It's almost like, put your money where your mouth is.
Just a couple of questions myself. What Our Lady has said at Bayside is, for instance, we receive only from the consecrated hands of a priest, only in our tongue, if health permits, kneeling. Our Lady's asked, of course, for the women to wear head coverings during Mass, to dress Mary-like, modesty, so basically no pants, just dresses and skirts. If we were to speak to Conchita and mention that, would she look at you strangely? Does she practice and observe those?
I think she would perfectly understand. In fact, she is, they say that she's fanatically passionate about the real presence. Now, if you think about it, that would make perfect sense to a person like that.
Does she practice that? Does she kneel for communion?
I don't know that. I can't tell you if she does.
Gabriel, what is the current church position on Garabandel in Spain? What is the official church position, quote unquote?
It's a situation sort of like Bayside. It's almost like they kind of look at it like, we don't really, it's not official. They like to compare it to Fatima and Lourdes, because I think they think that by doing that, they're kind of already kind of putting a distance there. And I think that they don't really officially recognize it. Now, one of the things that they say that's going to happen, I guess they say that with Bayside also, is that eventually it's going to be proven that both of them are true. You know, so I guess it's one of those things where it's consistent with the way the world is. If you think about the way the world is right now, it makes sense that they wouldn't really be too crazy about saying that it's real, because a lot of what it says, in the second message, which by the way was June 18th, 1965, many cardinals and priests and bishops are on the road to perdition, and they're leading people with them. This is 1965. I mean, again, 1965. When I think of 1965, it looks pretty good to me. But then everything is relative. I guess one day, 2006 is going to look pretty good to us, and that's kind of sad if you think about it.
No, that message is not going to get you invited to the bishop's banquet.
I don't know. I don't think I want to be invited to the bishop's banquet. A lot of the things that I write, I've written, and I don't say the number to impress anybody, just to show you how much I've written about it. I've written probably almost nearly 300 articles on the internet. I have a column on a site that's called Daily Catholic. I mentioned it to Michael. But basically, I've written articles where I hate to say this, you know, and I know that you have to be respectful of priests, but I basically said stuff like the U.S. Council of Bishops, a lot of them are cowards. And I've said that, they're cowards.
You should see what Our Lady at Bayside says.
Because every day, you're going to be forced to say, okay, am I going to say what's right and have like 90 people call me a crazy person and throw stones at me or something? Or am I going to just follow the crowd and just avoid trouble? And maybe 30 years ago, you could kind of, you know, it was easy because you could, or easier because you could probably follow a lot of traditional things and everybody else was doing it. But you're going to see, you could see it happening already, where if you follow the real traditional things, every day more and more, you're almost going to be looked upon like you're crazy.
Get ready for the guillotine. That's for sure. Martyrdom, you know.
It's not going to be easy, so, you know, put on your helmets.
Right. We talked about the conditionality of the message, and that can't be stressed enough. I mean, there's been a few delays from the warning, as we all know. 1973, 1975, 1997, and now it remains to be seen. I think Gabriel has alluded to the fact that it seems to be very imminent. It should be noted, too, that Joey Lamangino, who was a major promoter of Garabandel, and you talk about similarities, the common ground between Garabandel and Bayside. If his, just very briefly, his story is he endured a terrible accident here in Brooklyn. I think he's originally from Brooklyn. And he was blinded as a result. I think a tire exploded. If I remember correctly, he lost his sight and his smell, but then his smell was restored miraculously.
He was 16 when it happened in 1947, and supposedly the first thing he's going to see is the miracle.
His sight will be restored. And but it's interesting how Padre Pio, Joey had asked Padre Pio when he saw him in the 60s. He said to Padre Pio, well, what do you think about Garabandel? Do you think I should go there? And Padre Pio said, go to Garabandel. Well, Padre Pio has appeared a few times at Bayside. Another correlation right there. And Joey was Veronica was in correspondence by phone and I think in person too with Joey. He was very open to the Bayside message in the very, very beginning, 68, 69, 70. And Veronica had telephone conversations with him. And Veronica's stating, she's saying, I was quite surprised that Our Lady picked the date 18th. In fact, when I asked Our Lady what day she was going to come to New York when the roses bloomed, she said June the 18th. Well, I was quite surprised. I wondered why not July, August, September. Well, right now I was surprised because it was through talking to Joseph Lamangino by telephone that he asked me one more time when I told him Our Lady said she would come on June 18th. He said, well, do you know what June the 18th is? And I said, no. And he said, well, that's the anniversary date of Our Lady's arrival at Garabandel in Spain. Well, gee, I was just as shocked to hear that, but I wondered why Our Lady had picked the 18th here in New York. And then another interesting tidbit here as well. Veronica had a vision of Joseph at the shrine. She's saying right here. She's reporting, I believe it was early evening when I heard Our Lady say to me, quote, you will see Joseph at the shrine. Well, then I had this vision. I saw a figure that I knew to be Joseph Lamangino, though I had never met him in person or seen him. But I knew it was Joseph. She didn't see him in person, but of course she was talking to him on the phone, as we heard earlier. He was kneeling in front of a large slab of concrete, sort of what I assume was the shrine. Because from where I was standing, I could only see him from in back, you know, behind him. And I assume it was a statue or something of Our Lady he was kneeling in front of. Well, from the left, I noticed Our Lady. She was gliding towards him. I thought at first he had on a white outfit, but it could possibly have been a gray-blue. But as she glided over, I noticed she placed both her hands on Joseph's shoulders. Then as I watched, she raised her hands. But I couldn't see what she was doing with them because I was watching the vision from behind. Then as I watched, Our Lady moved over to the left side of Joseph. He didn't seem to be aware that she was there because he didn't raise his head or anything that I could see. And then I saw Our Lady place her right hand over Joseph's right shoulder. It was such a beautiful picture watching this. And I will say picture because this was a living picture, if you want to call it that. I was watching this actual living enactment of perhaps the future. I don't understand it all, but time will tell, I'm sure, in heaven's plan. Was that his cure? Is that what he's being cured?
This is St. Michael's Radio, and we've been listening to SMWA President Michael Mangan, along with special guest speaker Gabriel Garnica, writer for the International Garabandel magazine, speaking to the Bayside faithful at their monthly meeting on March 19, 2006. Garabandel is indeed a very significant apparition of the last times, which interestingly occurred around the time of Vatican II, which in turn would lead the Church into spiritual darkness and necessitate the need for divine intervention in the latter end. And so Garabandel marks the first major revelation to the world concerning the great warning that is soon to come. Our Lady on November 24, 1973 said at Bayside, quote, "The Father plans to awaken those who have fallen asleep in his house by a great warning." And so a major mission of the Garabandel seers was to alert the world to the coming warning, to say that the world is going to be committing sins, and then God one day is going to suddenly thunder from heaven. And that's exactly what happened to the seers of Garamadal on June 18, 1961. They were stealing apples, as stated above. And then it suddenly thundered from heaven, and there was St. Michael, the great archangel, looking them right in the eye. This must have been frightening, beyond all words to tell. But this would serve to teach them empathy, and to give them an inside look of what the world in general is going to experience during the warning. If they were to be instrumental in imparting this knowledge to the populace, then they would have had to experience a little of this humiliation for themselves. And of course, the good Lord would prepare them in many other ways for this great mission. Now, Veronica, the seer of Bayside, actually experienced this warning while in ecstasy on April 21, 1973. She was taken into the future and was made to feel or experience what the world in general is going to experience during the warning. And if anybody thinks that being a seer is easy, all they need to do is listen to the tape recording of Veronica experiencing this warning in ecstasy, which we are going to hear now.
So everything has exploded in the sky. The flash! And it's very hot! It's very warm! Oh! Oh! It feels like I'm burning!
Ah!
Now,
the Lord is with thee.
The sky is very white.
Blessed art thou among
the colors. Blues, purples. Like a huge explosion. Now there's voice. The voice. And the voice, Our Lady says, is a voice within you. Your warning before chastisement. Flash, fire, and the voice within you. The final warning before chastisement.
You're listening to St. Michael's broadcast, and that was a brief clip of the seer Veronica experiencing the coming warning in ecstasy on April 21st, 1973. Now we're going to hear a brief clip of Our Lady speaking to Veronica about the warning on June 12th, 1976. Just to orient you again, Veronica at the Bayside Vigils would be in a state of ecstasy in which she would see the Blessed Virgin Mary and her Divine Son. At their direction, she would repeat out loud the message they would give her while her voice was being recorded. Now, what you're going to hear is Veronica's voice, but it is the Blessed Virgin speaking through her on June 12, 1976. This is concerning the great warning that is very soon now to occur upon Earth.
My children, you must pray more, do much penance, for the warning is coming upon mankind. There will be a tremendous explosion, and the sky shall roll back like a scroll. This force shall go within the very core of the human. He will understand his offenses to his God. However, this warning will be of short duration, and many shall continue upon their road to perdition. So hard are the hearts hardened now, my child. As the day follows night, so shall this warning follow soon. Beware of the sunrise. Do not look up to the sky, the flash. Close your windows. Draw your shades. Remain inside. Do not venture outside your door, or you will not return. Pray. Prostrate yourselves upon your floors. Pray with arms outstretched and beg the mercy of your God the Father. seek to receive your animals into your homes, for the animals of those who have remained of well spirit will be taken care of. Oh, my children, how many will try to go back and restore their homes when it is too late? Keep blessed candles, water, blankets, food within your homes. The candles of those who have remained in the state of grace shall not be extinguished, but the candles in the homes of those who have given themselves to Satan shall not burn. Amen. I say to you, as night follows day, a great darkness shall descend upon mankind.
This is St. Michael's Radio, and we've been listening to a recorded segment of the Seer Veronica receiving the message from the Virgin Mary on June 12, 1976. We return now for the conclusion of our monthly meeting. This is SMWA President Michael Mangan speaking with special guest Gabriel Garnica of Garabandal Magazine.
But you definitely see the correlation here and the connection that when the warning and the miracle happens, all of these Marian armies will unite. And they will come together, and we're going to carry a little bit of wallop. We'll pack some wallop, a little bit anyways, before we go to the guillotine. Okay, but definitely it's interesting how Veronica had a vision of Joey, and somehow, and he was very, very open to Bayside. Veronica said later on, within a year or two, the way she reported it in her commentary, in her writings, is that she thought someone had got to him, kind of had poisoned him. And it's too bad because there's a plan in all this. I'm sure he's going to come around someday.
The devil knows unity is dangerous. So, of course, it makes sense. The last thing he wants is for anybody who believes in anything having to do with the Virgin Mary or God or anything. He doesn't want people getting together, only when they're doing his stuff.
To divide is to conquer. Right. Well, maybe, Gabriel, you'll be the bridge. You're the door. You'll be the bridge that can bridge that gap or maybe open up some doors. And of course, you got to realize a bridge is walked on, right? And of course, as we get closer to the end of time, to the warning, to the miracle, and as Conchita says in the message, and of course, Veronica stresses, Our Lady explained at Bayside, the end of the time does not mean the end of the world, it's the end of the era. So that's what I mean by that. But we do need to unite, and we need as many prayers as possible. These are urgent times, and so it's not really a good time to be bickering over minor things. You know, we do really need to unite and really share our resources and really combine our prayers and our rosaries. And I want to read this, ladies and gentlemen. Veronica has a vision. Oh, I can't repeat it. It's beautiful. Oh, Our Lady. Quote, my child, many will see and still not believe, so great is the darkness of spirit. Believe what you see at Garabandal. No, my child, it will not be removed by mankind. It has been 4 long years, but I promised you that you would see this, my child. The forces, the evil forces, my child, of 666 will lead a band of fools against Garabandal. That's July 15th, 1974. Veronica saw the miracle. I just want to mention this. On April 21st, 1973, you talk about hints or clues for the warning and miracle. This is for the miracle. Our Lady speaking, quote, on the meadow there is a very holy place. Garabandal. There will come upon the world a glorious mystery. The Father is merciful to his children. Many will see and yet not believe, crediting science for a phenomenon for the Father. Intellectual pride will be the downfall of many. The lilacs are in bloom. Gather the lilacs from the bush and bring them to the shrine. For the present, my child, this will remain a secret. Veronica speaking again in her writings. And then at this time, Our Lady gave me messages also for Joseph Lamagino, and that Our Lady has said, which I didn't understand, but I just passed it on, tell Joseph to gather the lilacs from the bush and bring them to the shrine. So there's another hint, right? So there's the lilacs of Garabandel. There's some relationship, I think, with the lilacs of the bush and bring them to the shrine. And the timing of the miracle. It's in the spring, right? Well, okay. We want to thank Gabriel very much for coming here. You've been very gracious. You've been very gracious. And we hope the next time we see you is where, Gabriel? On the Bayside grounds at the shrine, right? Yes. Okay. Okay. But thank you very much for coming. God bless you.
We hope you enjoyed this special presentation on Bayside and Garabandel, that it might foster a healthy regard for the members of both movements, not to mention the message. No doubt it is time to bring the lilacs of Garabandel to Our Lady's shrine in America, that they may take root in Flushing Meadows. The ground is fertile and the climate is right, and it's time these two sisters come together on holy ground with a mutual charity and zeal for the glory of God. And with a little help from their brother, Gabriel, we are hopeful this will be the case. He truly is the bridge between the two movements. As Gabriel rightly stated, the devil loves to come in and chop and divide when he sees a united effort at work for the glory of God. And since there is nothing in the message that divides Bayside and Garabandel, there accordingly should be no division among its members. The adage of old remains forever true. United, we will stand. And don't forget, you can hear St. Michael's Radio now on the internet 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, in any part of the globe. Just go to our website, smwa.org, and click on St. Michael's Radio. We hope you do. We would invite you to write for the free messages and information on the Virgin Mary. You can send your letters to St. Michael's, World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. That's St. Michael's, World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. Our website, www.smwa.org. And may Our Lady bless you.